Bibles with me today to Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 20. And here we see Jesus and his disciples, and we see one of the mother of Zebedee's children asking something of the Lord. And we pray that we will learn something here today that will help us in a greater way to serve the Lord. Matthew chapter 20 in verse number 20, the Bible says, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know not that the princes of the Gentiles exercise, or ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask and pray that you would speak to us, Lord, through your word today. And Holy Spirit, we pray for your power. And Lord, we ask that you'd please help us to be receptive to what you have for us from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. There's two different philosophies we see here in this passage. There's a philosophy of worldly greatness and a philosophy of Christian greatness. And the world system is built on that philosophy of worldly greatness being one of power, one being one of domination, one of being able to be there at the top. And here, the mother of Zebedee's children, she came to Jesus desiring a position for her sons. She came to Jesus with that mindset, that Gentile mindset of having that place of preeminence, having that position, that seat of power there at the right and the left hand of Christ. And Jesus says, "It's not mine to give; it's of the Father's to give." And he asks, "You know, are you able to drink of the cup? Are you able to suffer the things that I will be suffering? Are you able to die for me?" And they indeed did. They did end up suffering for the Lord. They did end up, tasting of his sufferings. But they did not understand what it meant to be great in the kingdom. They did not understand. They did not have a concept or an understanding of what it meant to be great in the kingdom of God. You know, we sometimes can have that same concept, that same mindset of pursuing worldly greatness, of being at the top, of having that place of preeminence. And in the Lord's church and in his body, there is no room for that. There is no room for the children of God to be vying for that place of preeminence, to be vying to be there at the top, to be noticed, to have the recognition, because we are to be lifting up Christ. We are to be lifting up the Father. And Jesus set the great example for us in his ministry, the Son of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he, the Son of God, came to earth in all power and all glory, and he submitted to the Father's will. You know, God wants us to submit to the Father's will. That's how God's work gets done, when we submit to the Father's will. And we see here in this passage that Jesus says, the greatest will be the servant. The greatest will be the servant. It's not about the position, it's about being a servant. What does that word minister mean? I found it interesting. It says, an agent appointed to transact or manage business under the authority of another. You know, Jesus came transacting business on behalf of the Father.
That's right.
Jesus came in the Father's name. He came with all the power and all the glory. And he came on behalf of the Father to do the Father's business here on this earth. an agent appointed to transact or manage business. You know what? That's what we are. As children of God, as servants of God, we are here not to conduct our own business, not to carry out what we desire and what we want, but to conduct the Father's business. The Father has decided to use us. To use us. We are here as His representatives, as His servants to carry out His will. And the question is, are you this morning? Are you in your life? Are you carrying out the will of the Father? Or are you carrying out your own will? Are you pursuing worldly greatness? Are you desiring to be chief? Or are you desiring to be a servant? Because God is looking for servants. He's not looking for those that desire to be chief in the house of God. God has set a pastor here in the house of God as an under-shepherd to guide and direct the church as God leads and directs him. But God has set each and every one of us in the body to serve, to minister. Even a pastor is set in the body to serve, to minister. And God has set us here to do His will, to do His business. The worldly mindset is one of dominion. That means the power to direct, control, use, and dispose of at pleasure. You know, the world system is set up that way, isn't it? To use and dispose. To take advantage of. And the world system is set up to it says, the right of possession and use without being accountable. But we are accountable. In God's system, we are to be accountable unto Him. We are not accountable unto ourselves. We are not answering to ourselves, but we are answering to God Almighty. And we are to bring ourselves in submission under Him. Luke 2:49, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Everything that Jesus did in His ministry was about His Father's ministry, was about His Father's business. Even as a child here, He said, I must be about my Father's business. He knew that His purpose on earth was to do God's business. In John 5:43, it says, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. He came in His Father's name. He didn't come in His own might. He didn't come in His own power. He came in His Father's name. He said in John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Jesus came to do the Father's will. He came to do what God sent Him to do. He came to die and go to Calvary and die on the cross. He came to do the will of another on behalf of another. And that's what God wants us to be busy doing. God wants us to be servants. God wants us to be busy carrying out the Father's will. As Christians, we are to execute the commands of the Lord on His behalf. Are you being obedient in your life to the commands of the Lord? We have the commands of the Lord here in His Word. I think of it's interesting to me how we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. And if you're familiar with writing a will and how if you write a will, you have the testator and you have, you know, they write the will out and they say what their will is to be carried out, you know, their home and their belongings and their money and how they want it divided amongst their children. And they give specifics in that will about maybe even down to their animals and you know, their jewelry and all of the different things, and they specify how they want it all broken out amongst their family and their friends and charities and things, and they write that up and they sign it, they notarize it, they have witnesses there. But that doesn't go in effect until the testator dies. It doesn't go in effect until the person that wrote the will dies. And here we have the Old and the New Testament, and we have Scripture from God, written by God. And Jesus came, and he came, and he gave us His words. He gave us His teachings. He taught us how to live, how to serve Him, how to be a Christian, how to be a servant in the kingdom. And when He died, this became our command. When the testator died, this became His will. I mean, it's His will for us to carry out. It gives us every little detail for life. It tells us how we ought to carry out our lives, how we ought to conduct ourselves, how we ought to serve the Lord, how we ought to live for Him in the church, how we ought to handle our money, our finances, our families, and all those things. It gives us direction. It's in effect, and it's God's will for us to carry out. Jesus came in his Father's name. He came to do his Father's will, and we too should be busy doing the Father's will. In Jesus' ministry, he set an example for us. He healed the sick. He ministered to the hurting. He spent time teaching biblical truth to those in darkness. He spent time with the lost, leading them to the truth. He even was ridiculed for the time that he spent with publicans and sinners because they said, you know, that his testimony was in question, and how could he spend time with those that the riotous, and how could he spend time with the publicans and sinners? But he was spending time ministering to them to bring them to himself. He went to Calvary, ultimately carrying out the will of the Father. His mission was carried out to its full extent and complete, and nothing was left undone. Nothing was left undone. Jesus set us the great example by what it means to be a minister, to carry out the Father's will. And in our own lives, God wants us to follow Him, to obey Him, to be the servants that He wants us to be, and nothing to be undone. You know, there's things in my life, as I look back at my life, there are things in my life that, you know, maybe I didn't carry out to the Father's will. There were times in my life that I did not obey Him. There were times in my life that I was not right with Him. But I was able to come to Him and repent of that error of my way. I was able to come to Him and say, Lord, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I haven't been serving You like I should. I haven't been submitted to You like I should be. I haven't yielded my will to You like I should have. Would You please forgive me? And God did. God can use you, folks. God wants to use you. Amen. He wants to use you in His kingdom. He wants to use you. And the question is, are you trying to serve Him, or are you trying to build a name for yourself? Are you going about it as the Lord Jesus said, if you want to be great, be a servant.
Yeah.
If you want to do great things for Me, serve others. If you want to be great in My kingdom, don't seek to be chief. Don't seek to have preeminence. Be a servant.
Amen.
Jesus was teaching that greatness is not about position. It's not about status. It's not about control. But it's about submission to God's will. And sometimes we forget that. We think that it's about having maybe being the head secretary, or being the head deacon, or having a place of a prominence and preeminence. But that's not what it's about. It's about serving. It's about getting plugged in, as a missionary said this morning, just finding out what needs to be done and doing it. God wants us to be submitted to His will. And Jesus, if he submitted to the will of the Father, so can we. We have a mission to carry out. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, He said, all power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Go ye. He gave us a mission to carry out the will of the Father, to spread the gospel throughout the world, and to take the gospel to every creature. And that can only be done if we are servants. If we are servants, if we are seeking to do the will of the Father and not seeking to do our own will. You know, I think of how Jesus, even when He was faced with a great trial affliction there in His final hour, there praying in Gethsemane, and the Bible says He was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. And He knowing what was to come, He knowing what He was to face, Him knowing what it meant to fulfill the will of the Father for His life, even at that dark moment, He prayed, not My will, but Thine be done. You know, sometimes in our lives we may face some trials, we may face some testings, there may be some difficulties that come our way. As we are serving the Lord, things that are unforeseen, things that we didn't know were coming, but we must continue serving the Lord. We must in that moment say, Lord, not My will, but Thine be done. Not My will, but Thine be done. Jesus humbled Himself in Philippians 2:8. The Bible says, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was obedient to that because He knew that if He didn't die and go to Calvary, that we would not have salvation. That whosoever will, that opportunity to have every sin forgiven, that opportunity to have every person who would come to the Father could be received, that opportunity for everyone to be saved would not be possible if He did not obey and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus, who had all power, recognized that His power came from the Father, and we too must recognize that our power comes from Him. Folks, we must submit to Him. John 5:30 says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Amen. You know, there's nothing that I can do in my own power. There's nothing that you can do in your own power. The work of God is greater than you or I. But if God wants his work to be carried out, and he chooses to use you and I, then he is able to equip us. He is able to give us his power to go out in his might, to see that his will is accomplished. Just like he gave Jesus the ability to submit to in that moment of agony, that moment where he was facing, where he knew that he would be carrying the weight of the sins of the world on his shoulders. He embraced and went forward in that moment, and we too can go forward in the power and the might of God. We are not doing this alone. This is not something that we're a work of ourselves. This is not a work of our own doing. This is his work. This is for his honor, for his glory. And Jesus said, all power is given unto me, go ye. All power is given unto me, go ye. Go ye in my name. Go ye in my ability. Go ye in my power. If you want to serve me, go forward in my power, in my might, in my ability. And we get that from the Lord. I can of my own self do nothing. Folks, you can of your own selves do nothing. There is nothing that you can do in your own might. There is nothing that you can accomplish for God in your own ability. You may be able to come, and I know, folks, that you know sometimes we come on Saturdays and we come not right with God. Sometimes we come and we go out door knocking and we're not right with God. Or maybe we come and we minister in the church and our hearts are not right with the Lord, but God does not bless that. God is not blessed that when we're trying to do things in our own ability, in our own might, in our own power, in our own talents. You know, some are equipped to be great orators. Some are equipped to be to have great talents. Some are equipped to do things that in public and have that ability. But God can equip us in his own might, in his own power to do his work. It's not about us. I think about people like Moses who was afraid to speak and he told the Lord, not so, Lord. I can't go and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. I cannot do it. And he, you know, he was right in the spot that God wanted him to be. He was right where God wanted him to be because he recognized in himself that he could not do it in his own strength. Yeah. And God said, go, I am. I am. And we go in the power of I am. We go in the power of the God Almighty. Yes. In Jesus' ministry, we see the submission of his will. And folks, to be a servant in God's kingdom, we must submit our will. To be a servant in God's kingdom, we must have a desire to please the Father. To be a servant in God's kingdom, we must be faithful to the mission that God has for us. We must do those things. Folks, have you submitted your will? Do you have a proper desire to please the Father? Are you being faithful to God's calling in your life? Are you being faithful to the mission that he has for you? In Matthew 23, we'll look at a few things of the God that Jesus pointed out in his ministry about what it means to be a servant and what it means to not be. And the Pharisees were a great example in that they had a position. They had a position of a religious position, a place of prominence, a place of preeminence. And they were there and they were not yielded in any way to God. They were doing it in their own flesh and exerting their power and dominion over others. And in Matthew chapter 23, if you turn there, Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 3, the Bible says there, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do ye not after their works, for they say and do not. Here they are, the Pharisees in Moses' seat in that place of power and in that place of preeminence, and they had the authority to teach the word of God, but they were not living up to what they were teaching. And if we want to be servants of God, a minister in God's kingdom, carrying out his will and his commands, then we must do what we say. We must be people of our word. And here they were not people that led by example. But if we want to be ministers in God's work, we must do what we say. We must set it a good example. Secondly, I see that a minister will serve alongside others. In verse number 4, the Bible says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Here they are, they're telling everybody how it ought to be done and what needs to be done, but they're not doing it alongside others. They're not involved in the work. They're standing back and watching it be done, and they're directing it, and they're sitting from this high place of preeminence in their power, but they're not ministering to others. They're not carrying out the work that God has for them to do. And we can be that like that sometimes, in that we want the position and the power and the recognition and direct and be able to direct everything, but we ought to be serving. We ought to be ministering. We ought to be involved in the work that's being done and carrying that out to see it to fruition. A minister will set a good example. We see that they don't, in verse number 4, that they're not even involved in it in any way. They're not lifting a finger to do any of the work. A minister doesn't care if anybody sees what he's doing. He's doing it for the Lord. In verse number 5, the Bible says, "But all their works they do it for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments." They had all the robes. They had all the vestments. They had all of the clothing there and the appearance of greatness. But they were empty suits. There was nothing there. There was no there. And they were not... They were doing it for approval. They were doing it to be seen of men. And God says, if you want to be a minister, don't do it to be seen of men. Don't do it to be seen of others. Do it for my sake. The Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." God sees. God sees what you're doing. We're doing it for the Lord. For love of the Lord. And I hope that is your heart's desire, that you're doing it for love of the Lord. That's why Jesus went to the cross.
Yeah.
For love of the Father.
That's right.
What are you doing, what you're doing for? Are you doing it for the right reasons? A minister doesn't vie for position, in verse number 6, and love the, it says, "And they love the uppermost rooms and at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues." We ought not be doing things for position, for preeminence, for titles. And lastly, we see a minister doesn't seek titles, in verse number 7, "And greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi." In God's kingdom, the chief, the greatest, are servants. As it was said this morning, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God, a servant. And that's what we ought to be, servants. That ought to be our heart's desire. Folks, where are you at in your life? Are you doing things to be seen of men? Are you doing things for the love of the Lord? And that ought to be our heart's desire. God is looking for servants and those that will carry out His will. Those that will find what needs to be done and do it. Those that are looking to be part of a church and to be plugged in, doing what God has for them to do. Jesus set the example for us of how to do the will of the Father, and we should be busy doing our Father's business as well. There is a lost and dying world around us, and it's not going to be reached if we're busy looking for titles. If we're busy looking for that place of preeminence, to have the uppermost seat, it's not going to be done by directing, you do this and you do that. It's going to be done by jumping in and taking part in the work. There's much to be done. God's will. And are you plugged in? Are you doing God's will for your life? Are you a servant? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask and pray that you please help us to be servants, to help us, dear Lord, to be obedient unto your will for our lives. And I pray, dear God, that we would be submitted unto you just like Jesus was. In Jesus' name, amen.